Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, Wednesday night, the Lakers lose and fall one game closer to falling out of the playoffs entirely. Meanwhile, LeBron James was out, and yet the Lakers feel better about themselves. A lot of extreme emotions next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
They gave the sax guy like a little bit of extra juice in the end of the new intro. It's a little bit more for the sax man. I appreciate that. I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. Everybody, including the sax man, Monday through Friday.
Little known secret, it's Kenny G.
Will work for food.
You know what? He's made a lot of money over the years, but you can always use a little more.
Some people just like to work. Mm-hmm. Among the people who make Locked On Lakers their first listen of every day, Kenny G, as far as we know, and make another Locked On podcast your second listen. Lots to cover in this episode of Locked On Lakers, including, Andy, a Lakers squad that feels much better about themselves.
Yes.
As of late, despite the fact, Andy, that they lose on Wednesday at the Crypt to Philadelphia, in a game that LeBron James misses, and they fall one game closer to the dreaded 11 spot, which is, of course, one game outside the play-in, unless the NBA steps in to get them in, which, you know, it's not impossible.
But I would never rule out, Brian, the idea of a play-in for the play-in, because the league really wants the Lakers in this, particularly when it does not look like the Nets may be there as long as everybody expected. Like, they want the star power, Brian. They're only going to get, I mean, even acknowledging that LeBron can still put up these amazing games and have 50-plus points twice in a week, you only got so many more games of this guy left. You got to milk him. So
yeah, I would agree.
If they have to do a play-in to the play-in, like one or maybe another team, they just get LeBron. They just actually get them.
Some sort of weird tournament between the Lakers and Sacramento. All right, 126-121 was the final score Wednesday night against the Sixers. We'll get to the game itself in a second, but the headline news here, as much as anything, is that LeBron, apparently his knee swolled up on him after the incredible performance on Monday night, and as it has been doing over the course of the season, enough to get him out of Wednesday's game. He should be okay for Sunday, Andy. The Lakers don't play again until Sunday, big game against the Pelicans. What this tells me is two things. First, LeBron is really grinding physically to get through this season. Like, it is not easy what he is trying to do, and it is taking a toll, which is something that we can talk about whether today. Certainly, we will talk about it into the offseason and into next year. The other thing it tells me is the Lakers are taking Sunday's game against New Orleans extremely seriously. They look at the standings, they look at their status for the play-in, and understand that these two games that they've got left against the Pellies are a big effing deal.
Yeah, Frank Vogel, a lot of Russell Westbrook, Stanley Johnson, like everybody that took questions after this game, Dwight Howard. They were all asked different versions of, is this a must-win game Sunday against the Pelicans? And to a man, nobody even attempted to downplay the importance of it. Like, Russell Westbrook will try to, you know, make nothing out of anything that we ever ask him. And Russ even acknowledged, like, no, this is a huge game. Like, I believe Russ's exact words were must-win. And you take into account what LeBron has done. Last three games they played in four nights, he played 36 minutes or more in each game. Like, 36 minutes against Washington, those were the fewest amount of minutes that he played in those three games over a really rapid period of time.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit ironic to say this given how well the Lakers played in this game against Philadelphia and how they made it a legit game. But there may have been a part of the Lakers looking at this game saying, all right, LeBron's knee is bugging him. This is against a team where we might end up losing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that loss is not as important as a potential loss to New Orleans. We have to pick our spots here if we're going to try to be really pragmatic about this.
Right, and it's the last opportunity we're going to have on the schedule to get LeBron extended rest.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play. He's going to go almost a full week, which during the course of a season is almost unheard of, to be able to go, you know, to put, just by missing one game, get almost a week of rest. And, you know, I agree with you. I think they looked at Wednesday's game against Philly. Philly, of course, has been vying for, you know, the best record in the East all season long, and probably figured this was a loss. And I, you know, I, kind of ironically, I guess the Lakers came out and made a game of it, to their credit. We'll get to that in a second. But I think watching that game, particularly in the first half, I think Philadelphia was doing, quite frankly, what the Lakers had been doing too much, particularly early in the year, which was trying to measure their effort and all that kind of stuff. The difference is Philadelphia is actually good, but I got a very clear, we are going to play only as hard as we need to. And we don't think we need to play very hard to win this game vibe from the Sixers. And what happened was, to the Lakers' credit, they played themselves into a game and they didn't quit. And the Lakers took advantage of it and had a chance to win in the fourth quarter. But I also think if LeBron had played, Philadelphia's attention would have been much, much higher coming into the game, early in the game, or whatever. So it's hard for me to say that they would have gotten the same result that Lakers would have won, because I think Philadelphia's a different team if LeBron plays.
Yeah, but the flip side is, so are the Lakers. I mean, we've seen that sure. The last three games. The Lakers are a considerably different and better team with LeBron in there. And, you know, there have been some hope that THT would play as well. He was out tonight still dealing with that ankle issue. But either way, though, we've reached a place now with LeBron, and, you know, this has been evident throughout this season, that, you know, the toll of everything in his career, beyond what's been asked of him this season, just the insane amount of mileage that he's accumulated over 19 years. And unfortunately, the Lakers have really borne the biggest brunt of that in terms of his time with them, like where it's really starting to become clear that despite the cyborg reputation, LeBron, you know, similar to Ivan Drago, he's actually a man.
Right. Yeah. And, you know what? It's funny. Like, I'll only cut you off, but like, I talked about this on Tuesday on Spectrum, the Lakers TV station, you know, and that was my point. It's like, when he plays, he's still LeBron James for the most part. He plays like LeBron James, we think, which is incredible. But that aspect of him being able to play every game and being there all the time and being, that's the part where he is just normal now. And we saw it again on Wednesday, just knee swells up, it can't play.
Yeah. I mean, this was something even before Kobe tore the Achilles, because once Kobe tore the Achilles, everything became just a, it was over. And, you know, managing Kobe became a totally different question. And during that final year, it really was about, we want to give Kobe the finale that he deserves. How do we manage to do that while still having him play in as many cities as possible? Because, you know, I think he wants to have that experience one last time in all these different places. Frankly, all those fans around the league uh-huh. wanted that last experience to watch Kobe, to pay tribute to him, all of that. You know, how do we do that while still managing to get him relatively in one piece by the time they play that last game at home against Utah? So there, it's not exactly the same, but before Kobe tore the Achilles, you were starting to see relative signs of decline with Kobe. Like, Kobe had reached a point where he could not automatically play through everything, which was his reputation. And for a long time, that was LeBron's reputation. In mm-hmm. both of their cases, it was earned. But again, at some point, your body does not cooperate in the same way. I don't care who you are. I mean, it's just, this is the way the world works for all these guys.
I know mine hasn't. And so, Andy, but what was one of the things that was interesting about the game and the reaction to the game Wednesday is the Lakers were very, very positive talking about their effort, talking about the game in ways that went beyond, hey, you know, we put up a plucky effort without LeBron. And that continues a very important trend for this team, which we will talk about next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's because it's a business scam out to get you. So don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't want or you just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Like companies, purposely, they make your subscriptions hard to cancel, complicated, but Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link the accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save collectively over $100 million. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
Locked On Lakers, also brought to you by NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot is the officially licensed NFT of the NBA. You connect with a community of hundreds of thousands of NBA fans. It's a natural progression of fantasy sports, and it's a way to upgrade your experience as an NBA fan. This is sort of the future, Andy, of what being an NBA fan is like. It's part trading card, where every moment on a Top Shot, it originates in a pack. But except unlike trading cards, these aren't like little images on a piece of cardboard. These are officially licensed NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. And, you know, if you're not just into the trading card aspect of it, it's kind of like a stock market for the NBA, where every day millions of dollars worth of NFTs are traded back and forth between tens of thousands of NBA fans around the world. So you've got your trading card aspect. If you're a collector, you got your stock market thing. If you're a stock market guy, you know, fantasy sports, in that every night you want to capitalize in the market, you're able to predict the top performers. So there's some of that. Investors, Andy, in this include Michael Jordan and Kevin Durant. Those are very wealthy men, not to mention Will Smith, who is an actor. And there are a lot of NBA players in the community like Tyrese Halliburton, Cole Anthony, and Harrison Barnes. And if you sign up for Top Shot today, the best way to start is by getting yourself a starter pack. You can pull an NFT of a superstar like LeBron or KD or star rookies like Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley for $9. If you don't pull your favorite player from the starter pack, you can snag moments from the marketplace that appeal to you. Challenges are the best way to earn exclusive moment NFT rewards. Complete challenges to unlock exclusive moment NFTs, and you can treat Top Shot like the best of daily fantasy sports. Top Shot's moments get you access to events and can be used in fantasy mini games on a regular basis. Top Shot, NBA. Another thing, Andy, I was asked on Spectrum on Tuesday was one of my big takeaways from Monday's win in Cleveland. And aside from the elevation of LeBron James on that dunk over Kevin Love, and stuff like that.
That in and of itself is why his knee is sore. Let's be honest.
He had to land. I went back and like, you look at that dunk and like LeBron James, it's LeBron James. He's had some incredible dunks over the course of his career. And many of them had more sheer force than that one on Monday. But if you even just setting aside the year 19 part of that, the way he just sort of took off and like just there was like an elegance to just the liftoff and ease to the lift off, and he just went straight up. It was unbelievable. And you watch that thing on a loop. And poor Kevin Love. Anyway, but my
never
other
gets
big
better
takeaway,
for him.
No. Well, he is that wedding that that LeBron is referring to. It's a Sports Illustrated cover model, so his life is still okay. But
I would actually,
all those free
him,
Banana Republic clothes that he's got.
If I were him, I would have pretended that I felt even worse about it than I really did, just because again, gift. The model.
Yeah, but also you get a better gift from LeBron, who can
That's
afford it.
True. hey, thanks for the Lobos bottle, LeBron.
I don't need a gift card to Banana Republic, LeBron. I don't care how big it is.
A Lobos bottle and a subscription to HBO Max featuring
Great.
Space Jam, A New Legacy.
The Shop, a, lot, a box set. Awesome. Appreciate
wow.
that. A pair of Beats headphones. Where'd you get those?
Huh. All that Sprite to drink. Great. You know
what? I will say, as much as it would be like super lazy for LeBron to just give Kevin Love a swag bag of all the things that he endorses, that would be an amazing swag bag.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Just like crap that he's got lying around the house because it's like stuff he endorses or invests in. I'm walking out of there with Beats. I'm walking out of there with great tequila, with... You know, I can listen to that Calm app that he likes so much.
I promise you, I'm serious about this. There is probably somewhere on LeBron's entire estate, whether in one of his like 9 garages or one of the 8 driveways or somewhere, there's probably a Hummer that he has no idea that he owns. Like that could be one of Kevin Love's gifts. Just like his forgotten about Humvee.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing, did we mention the fact that the San Antonio won? So this game on Sunday becomes even more important. San Antonio is now only 2 games behind the Lakers. So the Lakers' cushion is thinning out a little bit. We did speculate as to whether or not the Spurs could catch them, but the flip side is the Spurs still play after beating Portland on Wednesday. They play Portland 2 more times in their last 9 games, which seems statistically and schedulingly impossible, but yet here we are. The Lakers have a brutal schedule down the stretch. So Sunday's game becomes even more important in that way, too. The Lakers got to win some games. They, though, left Wednesday's game feeling as good as they did about themselves leaving Monday's game, which was my big takeaway from that. Like, they believe that they are on to something. And while the play hasn't been perfect, it is not totally without cause that they feel better about themselves.
No, the last 4 games, they've looked like a legitimately, not just better team, they've looked like a different team. Like, they've looked like a completely different group from, I mean, you could say when they began the season, and that would make sense because they are a completely different
which we'll
group.
Get like, to that in a second, which is important.
I mean, the rotation right now at this point, other than Melo and Monk, THT when he's back, and, you know, Dwight is sort of an in-and-out kind of guy, all these supporting guys are either pretty new, Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, DJ Augustine, or, you know, Austin Reeves, who we began the year not expecting that guy to be playing the type of role that he has right now. And you look at the...
Yeah, I was to say, even though you mentioned Monk, not to cut you off, but even Monk, we weren't totally sure how that was going to work at the beginning of the year.
So, I mean, the progression to where they began the season to where they are right now, like, beyond whatever quality of basketball is there, I mean, they are legitimately a different team in terms of composition, but I think something we're going to get into, I think in a lot of ways they are different in a mentality sense, in a much more positive sense.
It's been hard for them to believe in that. Like, they spent a lot of the year talking about, you know, take day by day, we're going to be okay, we believe in this group and this and that, but the body language was such that it was hard to believe that they believed. And then they reached that stretch where they were, you know, that first, the Phoenix game, that first Toronto game, like where they were just at this point, literally really getting their butts kicked. And Frank Vogel's bringing out the whole, we haven't let go of the rope thing like that. Nobody ever asks you if you're still holding on to the rope when things are going well. It's assumed that you're still holding on to the rope. You should never have to be told that you're not, that you are in fact still holding the rope.
I had serious doubts that they even knew where the F the rope was, much less whether or not they had dropped the thing. Mm-hmm. Like they looked like they had gone at least 2 months being like, do we still have that rope? Like,
does anybody know what happened to the rope?
I mean, seriously, they did not look like a team that was even touching a rope, much less hanging on to it, clinging to it, however you want to drag out that metaphor.
Right. And it was, you know, look, in their heart of hearts, do they believe that they're a, you know, great team, a championship contender? I don't know. But what I do, I genuinely do believe that they think that they are playing better, that they are performing in a way that gives them an opportunity to win. And that is a huge step, and it is a prerequisite for having an opportunity to win anything. Look, I just mentioned the gap shrinking here. The Lakers still play New Orleans twice, Denver twice. They've got Phoenix left on the schedule, correct? They've got Minnesota left on the schedule. They've got Utah left on the schedule. Like, nothing is going to be easy. And a Thunder team that's beaten them twice. God, if they lose that game.
I don't even say it out loud. The Thunder won't finish that game to make sure that happens. Like, if they're actually losing, they're going to get up and leave. Like, they want that loss more than they want bragging rights.
Thunder won on Wednesday.
Look, man, they can only do so much of this.
Orlando. It's hard to tell who's trying to win.
Exactly. Somebody's going to win that thing, but I'm pretty sure the Thunder will just, if they've got like an 8-point lead with 5 minutes left in the game, they're just going to walk out.
It's septuple overtime, and both teams are throwing the ball into their own basket.
No, I mean, look, man, the game's at Staples. They're just going to say that, or Crypto, they're going to say they're worried about missing their flight or something. Like, I mean, they'll find a way.
You know, it's just like, you cannot go into a play-in. You cannot go into a first round against Phoenix if they get that far and have even a slight chance if you don't believe that you are playing in an elevated way. Same players, same rotation, same skill sets, same whatever, that if you don't have confidence in what you're doing, you're not going to win.
Well, there were a couple of things that I thought were interesting that were said afterwards. Like, Stanley Johnson noted that they're executing better now, but it's not a matter of them understanding better what they're supposed to be doing. They're just doing it better. Because, you know, there had been questions throughout the year, and Frank Vogel alluded to at times, like, concepts that they were looking to implement that guys just weren't up to speed on. And a lot of that felt like Vogel venting his own frustration with a roster that, for much of this year, I don't think it's a secret, he's hated. But also Dwight Howard,
maybe
a little bit of it, but I thought Dwight also was interesting when he noted that they were really making an effort lately successfully to play off each other better, and playing off each other was something that took a lot of this season to figure out. And however frustrated that makes you as a fan, however frustrated that makes you as one of the players, whatever, the bottom line is, and you saw it tonight against Philadelphia, where they were moving the ball well. They were moving bodies well. Like, they look different.
Yeah, I would say that is a function just of, you know, a team without sort of missing all of its stars kind of does that. Like, they all lean into the fundamentals. That was the trend on Monday. That was the trend for three quarters against Washington. And it was certainly the trend against Toronto on Friday. The offense has been better. And, you know, we have harped a lot, Andy, on the psychology of offense, why it matters. And the Lakers have benefited from seeing some shots go in the basket. They shot 51% on Wednesday night. So you mentioned the rotation and the fact that so many different guys are in it compared to what you would have expected, say, in October. And that plays a big role in trying to explain why maybe the Lakers do feel a little bit better about themselves and feel confident in themselves. Have they finally found a mix of dudes that give them the best chance to win? That's next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. It's that time of year. College basketball's tournament, it is in full swing. Sweet 16
is... Peacocks are still there, aren't they?
Who are they again?
St. Peter's. Peacocks.
Okay. I just realized halfway through I wasn't sure if we were allowed to say an adjective reflecting taste and a number. I don't even know if we're allowed to say that, but
I could say peacock.
That is true. You can say peacock. They don't own that.
Can't trademark a bird.
Yeah, yet. But for all the latest odds, contests, and player props, betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino game. So head to the website today, use your mobile device, learn more about the trends in action, bet online where the games start.
Kudos to St. Peter's, but I have a feeling other birds detest peacocks. What an ostentatious animal that is with its big feathers and what.
And kind of useless.
What do they do?
I have no idea. They're layabouts.
Oh, look at my big feathers.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, you know what they are? They're like really good looking trust fund babies.
Yeah. This is so funny that you mentioned that, because what I was trying to think of was the right character from like an 80s, like one of the Andrew McCarthy characters, or like something, someone James Spader played. Like,
yeah.
Driving dad's 67 Corvette or something. Yeah,
they're James Spader's character in Pretty in Pink. You know, somebody just born on third base, thinks he hit a home run, you know, decked out in all splendid manner, you know, looking
James
pretty.
Spader with a bird, he would have been walking around going, check out my feathers.
Yeah, if a peacock had a cigarette in its mouth and like a white blazer in high school, it would be James Spader as a peacock.
Stupid birds. Anyway, it is fair to say the Lakers did not exactly hit on all of their free agency swings that they took. Many of them seemed like a good idea at the time. They have not panned out.
Few didn't
seem like, and then certainly the totality of it seemed like there might be a couple holes, which a few people, including the hosts of this podcast, noted. But Wenyen Gabriel had a really nice game on Wednesday, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. Austin Reeves continues to play big minutes. Stanley Johnson was 5 of 5 in the first quarter. Quiet after that offensively, but finished with 13 points and 8 assists.
His playmaking in this game.
He's a good passer. Yeah. You got 20 and 7, I should say, from Carmelo Anthony, and then Malik Monk on a night where they needed him to score some points, scored 23 and a weird, surprising 24 from Dwight Howard. But the important thing there is Trevor Ariza didn't play. Kent Bazemore didn't play. Avery Bradley didn't play. Wayne Ellington didn't play. THT was injured, but I actually do wonder how much he's going to play when he comes back. This is, in fact, a different team. It is more athletic with Johnson and Gabriel playing more minutes and more minutes together. Austin Reeves is officially ensconced in the rotation. They're getting a little bit of perimeter shooting from DJ Augustine. I can't say I love this supporting cast, but it's a better mix than what they had before, and probably gives LeBron and AD and Russ a better chance to do something in a play-in and a playoff.
Well, they're less gassed. I mean, like both this season and over the course of their careers, because several of these guys are just flat out younger. I mean, you know,
old people get tired faster running up and down the court
and cranky, as we've seen over the course of this year with the bleepy mood that's often gone on. Like,
I mean, it's like every 5 o'clock every day, Trevor Ariza is screaming for soup.
At a buffet, specifically. It has to be a buffet. But like a really crappy buffet. Like, it can't be an upscale buffet. It's got to be, you know,
low sodium, I said.
But like, other than Melo, who, it should be noted, is a guy that we have said all year, his attitude's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, Melo has been a bright spot this whole season, both in terms of what you wanted from him on the court realistically, but also just his attitude, his mindset, professionalism, all that. The rest of these guys that are playing right now, you know, Dwight, again, is a situational thing. As far as supporting cast go, they're all younger, and all of them, Austin Reeves, Wenyen Gabriel, Stanley Johnson, you know, Malik Monk in his own right, because he is trying to get a bigger deal next season, whether the Lakers or somewhere else, or even someone like DJ Augustine, who's been around but was just recently cut. You've got a bunch of guys right now who have a decided self-interest in playing their asses off, being seen as great team guys, you know, just looking for opportunities and needing to believe on different levels that a guy like Avery Bradley or Wayne Ellington or Bazemore, like, I'm not saying they're unprofessional or anything like that, but there's a different reality for the guys currently in the rotation than there were for some of the guys at the beginning of the year. And I don't think it's an accident that with those guys playing more, you're seeing just a scrappier fightier group than you had at the beginning of the year.
I think that's right. I don't think it's necessarily want or care, because, like, you know, I got all kinds of criticisms of Avery Bradley. Effort is not one of them. But these guys are just better athletes. They are, you know,
sure,
for all the jokes, for all the Austin Reeves jokes, you know, hillbilly Kobe, and he looks like somebody who came out of the fourth row and all that stuff. He's a better athlete than a lot. He moves his feet better than a lot. He's like, we keep seeing teams try to take him one-on-one. And sometimes, you know, Tobias Harris had a go, but like, these are NBA players and he's guarding a lot of really good ones. Like, generally, like, he's just a good defender. And Wenyen Gabriel is more athletic than Trevor Ariza and Kent Bazemore. And these guys just do things at a little bit higher clip. You know, Stanley Johnson is strong. He's athletic. He's not perfect, but, you know, you start to put this combination of players out on the floor. And then when you would take a guy like Augustine, you're using one of them at a time. You're not having to play two or three or four of them.
That's a good point.
What I want to see, and I hope I get a chance to see it, is just what it looks like when you have AD and LeBron and Wenyen Gabriel, and like AD, LeBron, Wenyen Gabriel, and Stanley Johnson. Like, Russ should be better with that. Like, they need guys who can fill some gaps so that LeBron and AD and these guys don't have to work quite as hard all the time on everything. And at the very least, they're going to give it a try. And there's a little more versatility. You can switch more effectively. You can do all that stuff with this batch of dudes, limited as they are. And all of that.
Yeah, I there's no question. Like, the increased athleticism, the younger legs, all of that stuff makes a huge difference. I mean, that is a factor in all this. But I do think there's something to be said too for that collectively different mentality. It was interesting.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Stanley after the game, but before we go, and this is something I wanted to ask Frank Vogel about, didn't get a chance to. I'm going to try to over the course of this week when they practice next. But he talked about how the home loss to Toronto, where they just got stomped, and, you know, they tried to get themselves back into it a bit, but they really got killed in the first half. In particular, they were awful. There was a really big team meeting, and Stanley said that guys like Braun, AD, Russ, Melo, Ariza, even mentioned Kent Bazemore, like the guys who've been in the league the longest, were the most vocal, and that it affected the whole team, and that he thought it made a difference. And Stanley also talked about that period where he was out of the league. You know, he remembered that he grew up, this is before he was with the Lakers, like he remembered he grew up watching Trevor Ariza, and he was thinking about, like, you know, if I can just do Trevor Ariza things, I can get myself back in the league. And it got me thinking about how some of these guys now in the rotation, they look up to LeBron and AD and Russ and Melo, you know, even Ariza, in ways that some of the guys earlier in the rotation, they may respect them, but they don't look up to them. And in the same token, like, a guy like LeBron is going to recognize, like, man, half this rotation now, like, they are really looking up to me for things that these other guys, they were looking for leadership, but it's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if that dynamic has also changed in a really positive way because of who's playing now and who isn't.
I will say this. Say what you will about Peacocks. They are apparently.
That was not the follow I expected. Continue.
They are apparently fearsome birds. This from sciencing.com. While peacocks do not frequently attack people, it happens enough that the birds have been featured in a number of news stories about zoo trips gone wrong. The birds have pecked and scratched at children, sending them to hospitals for stitches. And in one town plagued by birds, hundreds of dollars in property damage have been caused by peacocks attacking their own reflections. So they are both mean and apparently quite stupid.
So, like, drunk rich kids.
Yes, exactly. They're also... apparently, they are aggressive and fiercely territorial, particularly during mating season, which, again, is like a lot of these characters in 80s movies.
Well, that was like James Spader in Pretty Pink. The whole thing got going because he was upset that Molly Ringwald, she was the one thing he could not buy, and it really upset him.
This is a great sentence. While the average person has nothing to fear from a peacock, a fear of the bird is sensible. I like that. All right. Lakers have a few days off, as we noted, between now and their next game against the Pelicans on Sunday. It is a big one. We'll keep an eye, too, on what the Spurs do. Spurs play the Pelicans, I believe, on Saturday, which will obviously have an influence on what the standings look like when the Lakers take the floor again. Keep an eye on LeBron James's health. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Thanks to everybody for subscribing to that. And we will see everybody on Friday. Friday? Yeah, Friday.